It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this 12th day of February 2020, the birthday of Abraham Lincoln, the last good Republican president. Yeah. And so I guess, what, Washington's birthday comes around a little bit, and that means, what, next Monday is next Monday the President's Day holiday when we all go out and buy mattresses? Is that what it is? You know, I prefer having birthday holidays for Washington. Well, Lincoln, more preferably. Lincoln wasn't a slave owner. Washington did at least free his slaves upon his death, so there's that. But the idea that we just sort of lumped them all together and made it all just President's Day still kind of galls me. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And I say that because we've had some awful presidents. Think about it. When we celebrate President's Day, that means we're celebrating Richard Nixon. It means we're celebrating James Buchanan and Grover Cleveland and Rutherford B. Hayes. Silent Cal Coolidge. Hubert Heaver. Really? I mean, you know, Herbert Hoover. Well, never mind. Just leave it alone, Bob. We're not there yet. Leave it alone. So this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. We finished last night with $260 to remaining for fundraising, and then a couple of good things happened. Our buddy Hung Like Jesus jumped in, and Linda jumped in. So thank you both to Hung Like Jesus and Linda. That took us down to $195, which makes this evening $495. I mean, $395, ciphering, sorry, my bad, $395, and, you may recall that Chris in Germany put a challenge on the table last week that went unmatched. I'm authorized to put that back on the table so that we can, finish paying for the new streaming computer, so that's huge. And so there's that $200 challenge on the table, and then we'll just deal with regular fundraising. Tremendous thanks to Hung Like Jesus and Linda for jumping in after the program last night, and hey, thanks to our buddy brother Deacon Gerald of the Building and Grounds Committee for jumping back in the subscriber pool. Thank you, Gerald. And thanks as well to our subscribers for the 12th day of the month. That would be Gary in New York and our buddy Suman and Paul. Thank you all very kindly. Yeah. And there it is. The Chris's challenge is met. So that takes that finishes off the desperate fund, the desperately needed streaming computer. So we'll have that in by the weekend, and that'll take a little stress off of the road rig and be a little less likely to ruin its battery over time. So it'll be good for when I go on the road. Thank you. Thank you to our anonymous friend who just knocked that out. Thank you very kindly. So there we stand. And I got to tell you, the little old blue-haired ladies, you know what? No, let's not make it independent. Let's just say there's $195 to go to finish, come up even and everything. So thank you. Gives the deacons something to do. Because the little old blue-haired ladies finally got back into the swing of things. I think they're feeling about as glum as do I with this incessant gray weather. But nonetheless, they're tough old birds, the little old blue-haired ladies and the little old blue-haired men. And they got creative and made cabbage rolls this evening. And I love cabbage rolls. You know, you wilt the big leaves of cabbage, and then you stuff them with spiced ground meat and rice, and roll them up and bake them with this rich, lovely tomato sauce. Oh, it's heavenly, just heavenly. Fresh baked bread to go with it. Mm-hmm. Little green salad, sort of, I guess, in a way of looking towards spring when the young tender lettuce greens will come up and the green onions, and we'll get busy. We'll get busy pouring hot bacon grease and black pepper and salt over them, and yummy. And then, of course, for dessert, the little old blue-haired ladies outdid themselves. It was this beautiful, beautiful golden butter pound cake with some sugared strawberries to go atop. And the deacons landed on that like a buzzard on roadkill. And they gorged themselves, and then they trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs and went out to the parking lot, the grim, gray, glum parking lot in the sort of intermissions between the rain, and stood there cadging cigarettes off of the sinners. And, you got a light? How about a kick in the chest to get me started? That's some deacon humor there. But eventually, Sister Carol Baker showed up at the vestibule door with the Cathedral of Common Sense solar-powered cattle prod, and they realized that there was work to do. So they're down here, down front, waiting for me to give the word and send them out, brethren and sistren, into the congregation. That little PayPal button in the bottom there, with every head bowed and every eye closed, except the one you keep scrunched open to keep from getting a closed head injury when you get wonked in the head with that big old heavy brass velvet lined plate. PayPal button in the bottom of it. Push it. Move on. Send it to the next. Pass it to your neighbor. Yes. So we will call the minister of music forward to get us started for this prayer meeting Wednesday edition. Brother minister of music, if you would. Please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen! Let me hear you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got.
praise him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, he's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren. Welcome, one and all. I'm calling on you now to get up onto your, off of your seats and hout glory onto your feet and wiggle and waggle and waddle and scrunch and squeeze. And move without rhythm, so glory you won't attract the worms, hallelujah. And come on out of the pews, and come on down that blood-red aisle, and fall, sinner, on your knees at the altar, and lay your hands out on the subwoofer, and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Munificent Mullah, Good-Hearted Guru, Bob Kincaid, and this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday Live, coming to you from the Cathedral. Ho! Amen of common sense. And into your life, and into your world, and into your mind, and into your spirit. Glory, glory, hallelujah, glory. Brethren and sistren, there are momentous events transpiring around us every day. Disturbing news earlier today, it turns out that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has been shipping around test kits so people can make sure that they don't have the coronavirus. Amen, glory. I tell people not to drink that swill, and look where it's got them. It's the gift of prophecy, I'm telling you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, they shipped the test kits round and about, brethren and sistren. And only then did they test the kits that they were shipping around. They sent out faulty kits to labs all around Merca. And they delivered inconclusive results that were neither positive nor negative, even when they were subjected to a positive or a negative. CDC official Nancy Messonnier said, "We think that the issue at this stage can be explained by one reagent that isn't performing as it should consistently, and that's why we're remanufacturing that reagent." So, sneezing, sorry. So the test kits are invalid, and the CDC will continue to do all testing at its laboratory. headquarters in Hotlanta, Georgia. And, well, we've been shipping the test kit to 36 countries that have placed orders. And each test kit has up to 700 to 800 uses, but at least not until they're remanufactured. You know, that could be a rather dangerous oopsie. So until then, you know, they'll just... And you hope nobody actually goes ahead and uses them and tests it on somebody who's sick, who's got the coronavirus, and they tell them, nah, you just got the flu. You hope. Because beyond that, well, you get into some trouble areas. But not to worry, because this is prayer meeting Wednesday. Ah, yes, thank you, Brother Usher Steve. In honor of your purple robe, you will be the purple pontifex. Well, thank you. I rather fancy purple. But not to worry, because, well, if you should happen to come down with a case of the coronavirus, Jim Baker is there to get you cured right up. Yes, indeed.
This influenza that is now circling the globe, you're saying that silver solution would be effective.
Well,
let's do a little backgrounder here. He's got a bottle of something that's just labeled silver solution. And he's been hustling it for a while. He claims that silver solution will cure all, and this is a quote, all venereal diseases. I had no idea that the coronavirus was a venereal. No, well, it's not. This is just a side benefit of silver solution. Actually, it's a side benefit of the hustle. Me, I'm using something from Horn Nutraceuticals myself. I've got a last remaining order of Alabama sex clams.
And colonial silver cures venereal disease.
That would be Agnes, yes.
That dumb little bastard. He's talking about arsenic that killed people, whether it cured them or not.
Yeah.
Really, it'll turn them blue. Oh, my God.
My wife just flipped off Jim Baker in the studio. If only we were doing video of this program, you know? Yeah. It is. It may or may not be colloidal silver. But he'll damn sure sell you a bottle of it. And remember, all purchases are protected by the First Amendment guarantee of freedom of religion.
Say it hasn't been tested on this strain of the coronavirus, but it's been tested on other strains of the coronavirus and has been able to eliminate it within 12 hours.
Ah, it has. Of course not. It hasn't. He's talking to some woman by the name of Dr. Cheryl Selman. No, really, the goddess of irony has this one firmly in hand because they're hustling colloidal silver, I guess. And her last name is Selman, Sellman. Yeah. For coronavirus, David in South Carolina, Stan, wants to know, would Guinness Extra Stout be the antidote to coronavirus? Ah, yeah, you get a cowbell for that one, David. Sure. David says, yeah, waiting for weather, just waiting for warm weather. That's all we're doing, just waiting for warm weather. Jack in Shreveport said, it's been gray and rainy here, too, for 2 or 3 weeks, and it's getting to me. Temperature goes from extra warm and humid to chilly and humid. And the temp hovers near the point where you can't really decide to run the AC or the heat for any appreciable time to get the humidity down inside the house. It's miserable. Of course, we don't have that too warm thing going on yet, and we're looking for some 15-degree nights here soon because, well, why the fuck not? It's this time of year that I often fire up Jimmy Buffett's classic song, Boat Drinks, because there's a line in it. Where he sings, this morning, I shot 6 holes in my freezer. I think I've got cabin fever. Somebody pull the alarm. And then sings about wanting to be somewhere warm, drinking boat drinks, drinks with umbrellas in them, and served in coconut shells and whatnot. Well, that'll avail you nothing, Jimmy Buffett, if you come down with a case of the coronavirus. Of course, he used to advertise for Corona. But if you've got a bottle of fake silver solution on hand, guaranteed and protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States that allows religious hustlers to foist goofy shit like this onto a simple credulous congregation. Freedom.
Yeah.
Totally eliminate it, kills it, and deactivates it.
Yeah.
And then it boosts your immune system, so then you can support the recovery, because when you kill the virus, then the immune system comes into action to clear it out. So you want a vibrant immune system as well as an ability to deactivate these viruses.
Yeah, that's not exactly how it happens. It's not even remotely how it happens. But, man, don't you know that they have a blast when the cameras go off and they all go backstage to that tacky-ass set in Branson, Missouri, and open up a bottle of, they got plenty of money. They probably open up a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle and take to honking on it. I think I spoke inartfully, James, in Illinois. Baker's in the studio. I presume you have him either gagged or sedated. It's going to be one of those nights, isn't it? One of those afternoons. Brother Deacon Asa, re-test kits. You libs are out of your God-blessed minds. If it's a legitimate coronavirus, the body has a way to shut that whole thing down. Yeah, it just like, well, you know. Brother Usher Steve says there's a term for what old Ms. Branson said. Ms. Branson, that's good. Dr. Sellman to you. She didn't go to a bullshit doctor school for 4 years to be called Ms. There's a term for what old Ms. Branson said. Bullshit! Yes, that is a term for it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you get desperate, you know, chug some bologna. It's liquid bologna is what it is. And, of course, she bills herself as Dr. Cheryl Sellman. But, of course, she isn't a real doctor. And this will tie into another story in a moment. She's a naturopath. I believe that the body has an innate ability to heal, regenerate, and rejuvenate at any age and from any condition. The healing journey must incorporate a physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual realignment. Oh, tell it to Gwyneth Paltrow. Proven and safe solutions that truly support women of all ages to attain optimal health and wellness. Yes. Meanwhile, we take a little journey over to Illinois and the greater Chicagoland area, where there was a pediatrician there named Dr. Van Coynes. And Dr. Van Coynes, He bumped himself off. He decided he didn't want to be around anymore, and well, he killed himself and left a note. Something you need to know about Dr. Van Coynes, though, he was a big believer in homeopathic medicine. You know, the kind of stuff that there that Dr. Cheryl Sellman was hustling on the Jim Baker show. And in leaving his suicide note, he mentioned along the way that for about 10 years, he either dummied up his medical records or he just flat out gave fake vaccinations to children. Yeah, that's 10 years in a pediatric practice in Chicago. I don't have any data here, but can you even begin to imagine how many children that encompasses? For what it's worth, in his suicide note, Dr. Van Coynes did say he was sorry about the whole fake vaccinations thing. Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart said the note was very short. It was a note where he expressed a lot of regret, and the note was solely driven at the fact that he did things he regretted as far as the vaccinations. But now public health authorities, as if they didn't have enough problems as it was with anti-vaxxers generally, well, public health authorities are scrambling trying to figure out how to address the situation. How many thousands of kids is that who are walking around in an anti-vaxxer America unintentionally not part of herd immunity? Now, Sheriff Dart did say, go on to say, he was incredibly regretful for what he did. Well, he killed himself, I guess. And it was the only thing he mentioned in the suicide note. It was this and only this. Yeah, somehow I don't think his expression of remorse or regret is really sufficient in this situation. Unless we find out from Sheriff Dart that he also left a complete list of the kids that he had fraudulently vaccinated or faked their vaccination records. But it leads one to ask more questions. Like, was there an underground network of anti-vaxxers who knew to bring their children to Dr. Coynes so that they could get fake vaccines? And fake paperwork. It's worrisome. It is, in fact, terrifying. Well, maybe they need to order a few cases of silver solution and give it to all those youngins. And, you know, 10 years over, maybe some of them are old enough now, they probably picked up some venereal diseases, and the silver solution can knock that shit right out, too. It's prayer meeting Wednesday, so we can quote again that verse that says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But by no means is that all we've got. No. It would be too much of a blessing if that was all the religious and quackery. Heck no. There's Hank Kuhneman. Now, he's another one of these gospel grifters. He's out of Nebraska. We've heard from him before. When he gets to praying in tongues, it's a good time is had by all. His grift is called One Voice Ministries. And he's not using any damn silver solution to protect himself against the coronavirus. Because he knows who's really going to protect us from the coronavirus. Fetuses. And Donald Trump. Yep. Wish I was kidding. I'm not kidding.
Listen to the words that I speak to you at this moment, says the living God. Why do you fear, United States? For I have spoke to you before, and I speak to you again.
I have spoke? The living God, the all-powerful, immortal, knows-all, sees-all, great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky, can't even use his own King James language right, goodly, proper. That, I have spoke. Spoken! Hey, God, it's spoken, not spoke. Welcome to America. Speak English.
I have extended and opened a window of mercy to this nation at this time. Therefore, the virus that they speak of, the prognostication, the diagnosis, the fear, my...
And the little minions are out there in the house, and they're, and you know, they got the house band going there. I mean, it's not a big house band with a rig like Pink Floyd on tour or anything like say Joel Osteen's got. But, you know, they're plinking away there. I'm not sure if that's waiting for the bus or Jesus just left Chicago, but they're doing okay. And the sad, sorry, silly little freaks in Nebraska who have nothing better to do than to go hear this craziness. They're just standing there, and they're waving their hands in the air, just waving their hands in the air. Got the hands up, yeah. Put your hands in the air, Yzma. Yeah,
wee.
Mercy is the quarantine that shall be greater than what they have spoken to you, United States. And because of the administration that stands in this land, who honor me, who honor the covenants of your forefathers and of the Constitution, and because they have aligned themselves with Israel, and because they have sided on the right side of life, life in the womb, life given outside of the womb, therefore, I give life to this nation and I give mercy. Do not fear. This virus is the Spirit of God.
Did he say this virus is the Spirit of God or this virus says the Spirit of God? I don't know, James in Illinois. Spaken, asks James. Spaken? Hard to tell. It's just hard to tell. Yeah, I know. Steve in New York said, dude's got nothing on Ernest Angley. Well, that's entirely true. Robert in Australia pointing out, subject line, snake oil salesman. I was surprised to find out that the term snake oil salesman came from the fact that at medicine shows of the 19th century, they actually sold snake oil as an all cure. When I was first diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis, everyone I met had a friend who was a naturopath who had a cure for that. Or wait a minute, it's Australia, so maybe Robert will put up with me. I had when I was first diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis, everyone I met had a friend who was a naturopath who had a cure for that. There, had to bring old cousin Crocodile Kincaid into the thing. Have they won the Nobel Prize for Medicine, I would ask, which generally ended the conversation. I've been getting along nicely on medications that have been researched and tested and verified and supplied by real doctors for the last 20 years. Sorry about the psoriatic arthritis, Robert. I know that sucketh mightily, but you do live in a semi-civilized country. You know, you're getting a little more American every day, sadly, but you've still got a health care plan that'll help take care of help take care of that hateful ailment. But yeah, snake oil, all the things they sold. And you know what that was? You know what that's called? That's called laissez-faire capitalism. That's called the free market. That's what that is. Because the free market will sort that shit out, because all the people who buy the snake oil, well, they fucking die or something or get poisoned, and then they don't buy it again, so the snake oil salesman goes out of business. No, the snake oil salesman just goes to another town. Kind of like pedophile priests. Yeah. But you heard it right there out of the mouth of the prophet Hank Kuhneman that as long as the new 90 states of Merca loves Israel and the precious little fetuses that we'll all be just fine and dandy and won't nobody get the coronavirus. Even though people have already gotten the coronavirus in several different states of these here new 90 states of America. So I don't know, but it sounds a little bit like God or Hank may have, well, maybe God dropped the ball, or Hank just didn't understand the reverse Egyptian he was being spoken to in, or some such. And because Donald Trump. See how it works? Now, you're not that simple, but there are a lot of people in America that are simple enough to think, well, I guess that means I got to vote for Donald Trump so I won't get the coronavirus. Ebola. SARS. West Nile. The question is, what happens when they do get it? You know, the herpagonosyphilids. Oh, wait, I don't, maybe Donald Trump don't cover that. It's probably the libtards. Oh, that's an interesting observation. Randy in PA says, when you raise your hands in the air, I think it drops your blood pressure, and you get a little bit of a high from it, which people misconstrue as intervention by God. That's right. Interesting. Indeed it is. Kevin in Colorado Springs asks, why, when God always speaks like that, does there always have to be music playing in the background asking for a friend? Well, you know, it's not like God's a music hater. I mean, there's a couple of verses there in Psalms where he talks about just about every instrument in the ancient Bronze Age Children of Israel orchestra. Flavio letting us know. Erica Badu wants in on the grift. Oh, no. No, please, no. We really do need to work on that Martian colony real quick-like. You remember? Sometimes it's difficult. It's just difficult. You remember the story a couple of weeks back about Gwyneth Paltrow, pool room, whatever, selling that vagina-scented candle of hers that she said smelled just like her vagina, and it sold out almost immediately because people just want their houses to smell like Gwyneth Pool Hall's vagina? Sure. Why the fuck not? Enter Erica Badu. The people deserve. Erica Badu's new incense will smell like her vagina. I'm not going to go after the dinner hour in the Eastern Standard Time Zone this evening, so I'm trying to work carefully around the margins of this here story. I saw it earlier, but since Flavio brought it up, you know how it is in this community. If one person's thinking about it, the odds are several are. Yeah. Have you checked it? Because I didn't have time to do my due diligence on this story. I just sort of saw it and went, fuck no, and moved on, Flavio. Are we sure this isn't some sort of funny little website? Ha-ha. Parody? No. The people deserve it, Badu said in regards to the product that will be part of her new online store, Badu World Market. To which I have to crank up my rusty old, not particularly good Clint Eastwood impression and say, deserving's got nothing to do with it. Charles Holmes writes, musicians pivoting to product is a tale as old as time. Rick Ross has a beard and hair care line that's pretty amazing. Justin Bieber has a deodorant. Ariana Grande got a Starbucks drink. And Kanye West, by his estimation, made Yeezy, his sneaker and fashion line, jump over the Jumpman Michael Jordan's aptly titled sneakers, Jordans. Now, Erykah Badu. You know, you might want to get the hockey puck. I mean, I've already let the cat out of the... Don't say cat. I've already given away the punchline here, but still, the details may be enough to make you want the hockey puck. Erykah Badu is looking to diversify her portfolio with Badu World Market, a new online store opening on February 20th. As part of the launch, Badu is releasing an incense called Badu's Pussy, based on the smell of her vagina. And God, I cannot begin to tell you how glad I am that Agnes is not back here in the studio, because she'd be flapping and hooting like a barn owl, and then I'd have to shut down the microphone and go over and block the door to keep her from running out and into the yard and eating dirt and running rabbits, because I saw a rabbit in the yard last night. I don't know if it was a sign. I don't know what it would be a sign of. But there's method to what Erykah Badu did. I took lots of pairs of my panties, cut them up into little pieces, and burned them, the singer told Ten Magazine about the creation of the incense. Even the ash is part of it. The people deserve it. Well, the people who pay for it do deserve it. They're making an ash of themselves. Oh, I'm going to give myself a cowbell. I think I deserve it. Badu's store will include apothecary goods like an amethyst, rose quartz, and turquoise-infusing water bottle, grills, the ones you snap over your teeth, not cook on, and pieces from Badu's clothing line, Fuh, F-U-H. There's an urban legend that my pussy changes men, the singer explained. The men that I fall in love with and fall in love with me change jobs and lives. The online store is inspired by New York City's streetwear marketplace Chinatown Market, according to InStyle. Badu World Market is meant to encourage networking among smaller brands and prestigious art houses. Badu told the publication, it's a hub to share space with all people. If any musician can shake up the incense and perfume game, it's Erykah Badu. Flavio lets me know that story comes from Rolling Stone, and he linked to it via The Guardian, so... I reckon it's legit. It's a hub to share space with all people. In space, no one can smell your vagina incense. Somehow the 19th century snake oil is sounding better and better. There's just days, and a lot of those days are Wednesdays, when I should know better than to enter the studio without the swirly straw and the cheap rot gut bottle of tequila. Because there's just going to be no way to stay out of it. Damn. And of course, it, too, will sell out probably before the end of February the 20th. And all those people that are going to buy that incense, they get to vote. But then again, hopefully they just vote the right way. Maybe we should have done a little more in terms of making horn nutraceuticals a reality. More sneezing. I can't quite shake the really high-end upper respiratory part of that bug. It's really annoying. Robert in Australia, following up. I inject myself every 2 weeks with a drug called Enbrel. It comes in an injection pen. Almost, but not quite like Dr. McCoy's. Each injection costs $1,800. I pay $7.50 for it. As for that preacher, he's the character in every movie about a virus that says God will protect you and either ends up dead or is caught jumping the queue for the vaccination. Well, we'll root for the former and not the latter, if that's okay, Robert. Yeah, look at you being all civilized. $1,800 an injection. But for the low, low price of being an Australian, he pays $7.50. Yeah, I know. Flavio pointing out, and I thought Idiocracy was just a comedy. It's reality. Water, like, from the toilet? I know. Yeah, Steve, Brother Usher Steve says, how's that $867 trillion lawsuit coming? So we got Jim Baker hustling silver, fetuses protecting us from coronavirus, and you know it'll pretty soon be the height of silly season because CPAC is coming, the conservative Political Action Committee meeting. It's fronted by an outfit called the American Conservative Union. And guess who one of their most honored guests this year is going to be? Eduardo Bolsonaro. The sleazy, grifty, grafty, nasty-ass baby brother of Jair Bolsonaro. Because among other things, the CPAC has expanded the brand. CPAC Brazil. Yeah, he'll be coming to Washington, D.C. to tell Merca how awesome it is to be a goddamn shit-eating fascist. Mm-hmm. Ron in Raleigh, note, subject line, incense. While I'm a healthy heterosexual male, I'm sure I don't want my crib smelling of anyone's coochie, even Erica Badu's. I'll take mine straight from the source if you catch my drift. See, I was trying to work around the more polite margins of things, and Ron just did barrels right ahead, and yeah, but... Right, but let's not be all exclusive about it. I mean, there's nothing that says that women can't want to have their house smell like Erykah Badu's vagina too. It's going to be hard to not drink all the way through this program, I can just tell already. So we got our results out of New Hampshire, and apparently they managed to get the results in without using an app made by a company called Shadow. Really? Shadow? That still flabbergasts me. I mean, that's one of the secondary references for fucking Sauron in The Lord of the Rings, for God's sakes. In The Hobbit, he's referred to as the Shadow and the Necromancer. In large part because Tolkien hadn't worked out the whole Third Age battle for, you know, everything that happens in Lord of the Rings. It was a tale that grew in the telling, according to Professor T. Now, wait a minute. What's that? Got a note coming from Brother Deacon Asa, who has a profound entrepreneurial spirit. Reminds me of those heady days of the early W administration when he looked at the Prime Minister of Spain. W did. And said, you know what the problem is with the French language? They don't have a word for entrepreneur. It really happened. He really said that. I like to call these little things to mind from time to time, just as a way of, tweaking our collective little, pink little tomato noses. And all that's just a euphemism. All our noses are not pink. To the fact that having a Republican idiot in the White House isn't exactly anything new. The only way we wind up with Trump is because we had W. Now, as he stands there painting pictures of himself standing in the shower, looking at a mirror of himself, looking in the shower, looking in a mirror, looking in a shower, like sort of like a dim-witted hall of mirrors in the Palace of Versailles. I'm sure W doesn't like to be compared to Donald Trump because he hates Donald Trump. But there's a hell of a lot to compare over. And I'm sorry, it's just a fact. Yeah, you're right. Brother Usher Steve says the maggots aren't even hiding the fact that they favor dictatorship. And they aren't. God, you should have seen people like Lisa Murkowski and noted Republican moderate Susan Collins falling apart like the paper turning to pudding in a puddle when reporters asked them how's that whole acquitting the president thing going for you now that he's decided to run the Justice Department. I had hoped he learned his lesson. I think I hear my mother calling. Not nice. But anyway, like I said, Brother Deacon Asa has an entrepreneurial streak. And he offers apologies to any of our dear Horn Family Community Congregation members sitting at the dinner table. I have an idea that'll leave the Horn financially secure for generations. Hear me out. We'll have our industrious friends in Wuhan manufacture a Trump's sweaty-ass crack-scented candle. We'll call it Trump's Hiney, also an homage to our beloved Shiny Hiney. We'll price it out at $49.95, same price point as Trumpy Bear, and we'll sell out before Trump holds his next Klan rally. You want to talk about financial security? Yes! Well, that's disgusting. But it would probably sell. The maggots will buy anything if his name's on it. W. Bush to the president of Brazil, James in Illinois, reminds us, y'all have blacks too. Ron and Raleigh, wait a minute. You remember the old TV series called UFO, the organization tasked with protecting the Earth from hostile aliens, was called Shadow, S-H-A-D-O? I wonder, part of Space Force? Oh, yeah. Don't like to think about things like that. And why does Space Force have a camo uniform? Shouldn't they have, like, a black uniform with maybe some little little sparkly points on it, so they'll just kind of blend into the space around them. I mean, isn't that part of the whole thing? Camouflage in space. I don't know. Space Force. My God, we've got so much work to do if we can get this jackass out of the White House. I mentioned before the actual technical term for it in Latin is damnatio memoriae. We've got to use the mechanisms, the constitutional mechanisms, to remove. We will have to, and it'll take Herculean labors to just remove all imprint of him from the government. Impeach and remove every single judge he appointed, up to and including Ann's boy Neil and Brat Kavanaugh. Sorry, nothing personal, fellas, but you were appointed by a dim-witted crook who was in the service of a foreign adversary. So you're tainted. Gotta go. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Renee. Renee jumping in and knocking things down to a cool 185. Much obliged, Renee. Much appreciated indeed. It's always good to see a deacon with a smile on his face coming back with the plate. Thank you, Renee. Well, like I said, they managed to count the votes in New Hampshire without much in the way of incident. It was a far cry from the debacle of Iowa. But, of course, there's an app in play in Nevada, which is next. And that's not particularly inspiring. And, of course, Nevada is another carcass state. Gives me the creeps. But thanks to Rick Wiles, we actually know what happened with the Iowa carcass and why it went so terribly, terribly, terribly wrong. Now, Rick Wiles has been working a different street corner lately, and so it'll come as no surprise to find out who he thinks is to blame for the Iowa vote counting debacle. Who's to blame? Rick Wiles.
That the pro-Israel owner of the Times of Israel newspaper, he's backing homosexual mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Yes.
All right. And he's the money man behind this app.
Yes.
Are you suggesting that the Israelis are influencing the election to have the Democrats nominate its first openly homosexual presidential candidate?
You know, it would come across with a lot more panache if he would just hire Mel Gibson to get good and drunk and say, it's the Jews! The Jews! Or maybe that well-known comedian who pronounces it Jews. Yeah. Jesus. Yep. Israel wants America to have a homosexual president. Now, there's more to this clip, and I'm going to run it. But the fact of the matter is, this is just Rick Wiles. If Pete Buttigieg becomes the Democratic nominee, I will happily vote for him in November. Joyfully. Because, as I've said before, I will be doing the single most patriotic thing I've ever done in my life. Trying to remove from office the greatest threat to the Constitution that this country has faced since 1861. Pure and simple. But Rick Wiles is just one asshole. And I don't know how many people he reaches. He's got a little tax-free Dodge going there. He got himself a nice set with flashy, you know, flashy background and shit like that going on. And it's all tax-free, hallelujah. And that's him. But in Pentecostal and Baptist and apostolic holiness and Churches of Christ and Methodists and Presbyterians and Lutherans and the radical right wing Roman Catholic, Greek Orthodox, practically every Christian religion denomination in the new 90 states of Merca. Divines of one form or another will mount to the pulpit and declare that God will drop his almighty divine wrath upon the new 90 states of America if we let one of them Homer sectionals be president of the new 90 states of America. God bless America, the greatest country in the history of the world. On earth, in the universe, now, today, forever, under God, amen. And they will say it on Sunday morning. And they'll say it at Sunday night Bible study. And they'll say it at Wednesday night prayer meeting. And they'll say it when they're visiting of the sick. And they'll say it when they're visiting of the shut-ins. Because shut-ins get to vote too, and so do sick folks, as long as they ain't dead yet. And this country will vibrate with the toxic tones of a constitutionally protected grift shitting all over their tax exempt status and fueling the fires, fanning the flames of the nastiest, most virulent forms of hatred this country knows. They did it for 8 years with Barack Obama. Most American evangelicals probably will never meet a Muslim. But that didn't stop them from hollering, Sharia law, Barack Hussein Obama, Kenyan Muslim, you slurper. And have to this day this country at a fever pitch over anything perceived to be of the Islamic world, except maybe algebra and alcohol and the guitar. Yeah, oh well, don't get lost in that shit. And life is already hard enough for the gay community. I'm just going to issue, I'm not going to put on my tattered purple robe with the frayed moons and stars applicated on it and will thee kiss me in the dark, baby, written across the front of it and glow in the dark ink. I'm not even going to consult my magic eight ball that's got the screen cracked and always says answer hazy, ask again later. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to tell you straight out that the hate will boil into the streets. And even a perception of gayness or of anything on that continuum that runs LGBTQ, QQ, plus will be ripe for attacking. Am I saying that makes Pete Buttigieg a horrible person or maybe not even a good nominee? Nope. But I am telling you what will happen because these people are fueled entirely by 200 proof hatred. The pure stuff. and the machine that they fuel with it is banging on all 16 cylinders. And it's ready to roll. And it wears hats that say things like Make America Great Again or Keep America Great or Trump, fuck your feelings. And they've got some they've got some different variety of it for whomever might be the nominee. But that's what it'll be if it's Pete. Brother Deacon Asa says, no need for Rick Wiles to hire Mel Gibson. He's already coined a term for it, Bob. He calls it a Jew coup, which I personally think is comedically lazy at best. Me, I think Jew d'etat is a whole lot more tasteful. And it's more talented, too. And it shows a greater degree of the art of word knowing. Jew d'etat. Don't give him any ideas, Brother Deacon. But Rick Wiles got out in front of it first. Yep. Secret, double secret probation, Israeli newspaper Jews ruined Iowa.
That would fit in with values that agree with that.
What happened last night is weird. And we've already pointed out there is an Israeli connection. Imagine that. There's an Israeli connection to the Iowa disaster last night.
Will the Times of Israel report that?
I don't know. They might accuse me of being anti-Semitic for saying it. But the truth is, there is an...
Well, you know, only because he is.
Israeli connection to the app that bombed last night in Iowa. But you're not allowed to say these things. Everybody's being censored now. By whom? The same people who are doing this.
You know, it's interesting, for a guy who's being censored, there's no whoop, 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 of the black helicopter rotors overhead. Nobody's coming in and dragging him out screaming as he yells, it's the Jews, I tell you! It's a Jew coup!
Stuff.
Right. I mean, this isn't too hard to figure out what's going on, a coup. A takeover of the United States of America, unless we resist. Now, I'll say one final thing about the takeover. I've warned the American people for years.
If only it really was going to be one final thing, but it won't be, of course.
That if we did not repent as a nation, we would be taken into captivity and made slaves.
Not slaves. Slavery in the United States? Quel horreur. Shh. The other didn't count.
Witnessing it right now.
Yes.
We're about 80% into captivity right now. They're shutting down dissenting voices. They're censoring voices that refuse.
Well, you know, there's an argument to be made that he's right in that regard for all the wrong reasons. For instance, and I alluded to it last night, the legislature of the state of West Virginia is presently considering a bill that would make it a felony to protest a pipeline, a toxic pipeline that ruins people's land and lives. It'd be a felony to protest it. 10 other states have similar laws already. Two of them are presently challenged. I think either North or South Dakota and Louisianistan. And they're all the same bill because they were all written by the American Legislative Exchange Council, otherwise known as ALEC, because Republican legislators hate to actually work or have to write any bills or anything. So they just take the stuff out of the can from ALEC and offer it up as their own. And Alec doesn't complain about plagiarism because Alec wants it anyway. And that is definitely a shutting down of dissent. It's a flagrant violation of the First Amendment. But nobody's shutting down the First Amendment rights of hate mongers like this walking, talking, reeking pile of human feces in human form. He gets on the air constantly and complains that he's being shut down, but he's right there the next day. And he knows that nobody can shut him down because of our fetishized approach to the First Amendment. But there are threats to free expression in this country, and they are coming from the guy that he supports in the White House.
Used to go along with the agenda. We're deep into the captivity right now. We're losing our rights and freedoms, and we're being taken over by a foreign power that is anti-Christ.
You know, anti-Christ. That's another way of saying it. The Jews killed Christ! There's always, in this country, there's always going to be a market for this kind of shit. Because feed them. Jimmy in the Great Northwest writes, I can't understand these people called Christian. They love Israel but hate the Jews? Well, yeah. Because, see, the reason they love Israel is because Israel, in their twisted view of the world, Israel is going to cause Jesus to come back, and Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to be pissed. And when Jesus comes back pissed, he's going to give all them Jews in Israel a chance to go, okay, we got it wrong the first time. Now, you're definitely the Messiah. And then when they don't, he's going to look at people like Rick Wiles and say, gig them like frogs, kill them real good, make the blood run as high as a pony's neck. I'm not making that stuff up. That's really, really, really who and where he is. But of course, this sick freak goes on and on and on all about how he's not anti-Semitic, and then he rails about, the evil Jews that control everything, which is a classic anti-Semitic trope. And then he blames the people who point out what he says for why people think he's an anti-Semite, not his own words. You understand? It goes on and on and on.
Now that we're back, we want to show you kind of a montage of some of the trash that was thrown at us by the Jewish-controlled news media that wants to stop us from expressing our views. Look, I have three constitutional rights at play here. I have the freedom of press. We're a news program right here. This is freedom of press. I have freedom of speech. I have a right as an American to express my views. And freedom of religion.
Yes.
I can express my religious beliefs also. I can worship God. These news Nazis are telling us, no, you don't. You don't have those rights in America anymore, and we're going to crush you. Complete control now. They're crushing all alternative voices in this country. The Zionists are saying, we will control.
Alternative voices. He's an alternative voice. You know, kind of like the way some rock and roll is alternative. Sure. Funny. I am as unreligious as one human being can be. And I'm certainly not cashing any checks from AIPAC or getting any little... any little checks in the mail from Bibi Netanyahu signed XOXO Bibi. But I could damn sure still spot anti-Semitism and fascistic, Naziistic hate when I hear it. And that's why I share it. And he sits there in a blue jacket with a silver cross on the lapel. Sort of a reminder of who it is that over the last 1600 years or so has made life so intractably difficult, if not impossible, for so many millions of Jewish people.
What can be said, what you can think, which everything.
What you can do with your money.
Yes.
Deplatforming and debanking.
Yes. They want complete control of the public discourse. Wake up and realize what's happening to your country. There's very little time left to stop the complete takeover.
See, this is kind of the genius political organization, because they've got something for everybody. So here's an avowed pro-Trump preacher, hustler, grifter, gospel sharp. And he's not broadcasting to you, and he's not broadcasting to me. His purpose is to get out there and fuel the bullshit grievances of Trump's significant, more significant than you might suspect, Nazi base. White supremacist, white nationalist, the people who, the people who read Breitbart for the articles. Brother Usher Steve, note, the right wing, the fucking right wing has it all. The presidency, the courts, the Senate, they've gotten everything they've wanted, even going back to Obama's second term, going back to HW and the greasy bonzo buddy. Their capacity for grift, graft, victimhood, and snowflakeism is impregnable. What the fuck else do they want? Well, we used to have a saying around here. They want it all. And they want a theocracy and a dictatorship and a hereditary monarchy. They want the Constitution goddamn gone. And people like Rick Wiles will complain that his constitutional rights are being trampled even as he flaunts them. And eagerly supports a man for whom constitutional rights for anyone not him is at the very least an annoyance. And at the most, something to be destroyed. Brother Deacon Asa says, maybe it's the time of year and seasonal affective disorders affecting my diseased mind, but did I just hear Rick Wiles say the GUs are news Nazis? Help! What am I doing wrong, Bob? No, your ears are fine. He did that. And because there is no deity up there taking care of business with lightning bolts and so forth, Rick Wiles was not reduced to a little greasy, a little smoldering greasy spot the instant that came out of his mouth. No. But it's not just all Jews. No. Rick Wiles has a like everybody else. I mean, we've heard from Hank Kuhneman. We've heard from Jim Baker. Well, Rick Wiles knows about the coronavirus, too. Of course he does. It's not just, it's not just a medical phenomenon or a scientific phenomenon. It has nothing to do with the fact that the world is warming and that frozen places are thawing and that viruses are coming out of those thawed out places, the likes of which we have never seen before in all of human history, I might add. Nope. That's not any of it.
bears witness that this is a genuine plague that's coming upon the earth. And God is about to purge a lot of sin off this planet. Plagues are one of the last steps of judgment.
Yes.
The very last step is war. That's the last step. But plagues and pestilence, those are one of the steps of judgment. When nations refuse, look at China. Godless state, a godless government, godless communist government that persecutes Christians, forced abortions. All right? The Chinese communists are not virtuous people.
And yet, it's not Chinese communists who are being stricken with coronavirus. It's people desperate for a meal. People who go to markets to buy food to feed their families. So God is punishing the communist Chinese leaders by killing poor folks. You know, you've got to be a really genuinely shitty, misanthropic, pathetic excuse for an attempt at a member of the human race to worship a God that behaves like that. Well, let's see here. Let me look down there. Yeah. Oh, they're not paying enough attention to me, so since I'm a big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky, I'm going to punish people who have absolutely nothing to do with what I'm mad about. But then again, of course, the Bible is full, especially the Old Testament, is full of stories about God slaughtering people who, well, deserving's got nothing to do with it, who didn't deserve it. Because that's just the kind of deity it is.
They're godless. I'm not talking about the Chinese people. I'm talking about the government.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Look at the United States. Look at the rebellion, the spiritual rebellion that's in this country. The hatred of God, the hatred of the Bible, the hatred of righteousness.
Hatred of innocence.
Hatred of innocence. There's vile, disgusting people in this country now. Transgendering little children, perverting them. Look at the rapes and the sexual immorality and this, the filth on our TVs and our movies. And
learn something new every day. I didn't realize you could turn transgender into a participle. Transgendering. Not exactly sure what's involved in that. Is that what happens when you give little Susie the little play school tyke's workbench instead of forcing her to adopt traditionalist subservient female roles? Is that transgendering? I don't know. Because, you know, this guy, he's like a hateful version of Jabberwocky.
Folks, the death angel may be moving right now across the planet.
And it's a terrifying thing when the death angel walks by your door.
That's right. This is a time to get right with God. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've not been baptized, you need to be baptized. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus Christ will protect you.
Do we have to paint it on the doorpost? Oh, wait, no, he would never do that. Too Jewish. Oh, yeah, I know. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Old Rick's got it all sorted out. He even knows who's going to be the Antichrist. Sure he does. Absolutely. No real guessing going on here. No.
The unsaved Jews, because they rejected Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Messiah. And now for 2,000 years, they have been in rebellion against God by rejecting Jesus Christ. And they are still searching for a Jewish king.
You know, here's the interesting thing. As loopy as he sounds to ordinary people of normal to above normal cognitive ability, what he just said is in line with, and I don't care if you're talking about the Protestants, the Catholics, what have you, what he just said is in line with Christianity's teachings up to about the last 100 years or so. Not kidding. Look it up. Now he feels like some sort of an anachronism, but most of what he teaches and preaches has been taught and preached down through the centuries. What's that? A king, you say?
They don't want a savior. They want a king.
Yes.
And Jesus was not the king that they wanted.
Right.
Because he did not promise them physical land. He did not promise an insurrection against the Roman Empire.
He promised them a kingdom.
He promised them to bring them into the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And they did not want Jesus Christ as their king. And they're still searching for a king today. But this person that the Jews are going to turn to, I believe, is Antichrist. Mm. And it confirms what I have believed for a long time, is that the person that we refer to as Antichrist will be Jewish.
Yeah. Ponder that circular logic. But wait a minute. Who are the Israelis turning to right now? Who do they just love? Who do they adore? Huh? I mean, didn't they just name a settlement after him a few months back? Donald Trump? Yeah?
Son of perdition.
Yes, the son of perdition, the man of destruction. But he'll be Jewish, and the Jews will rally to him. They'll worship him. And sadly, the evangelical Zionists in America will also fall for this man. They will worship him, and they will be excited that the Jewish Messiah has arrived.
Yeah. Now, think about it. If you look on social media, and Nitwit Nero himself has retweeted it, and people in, for instance, New Hampshire the other night were wearing T-shirts that said Donald Trump Jr. Actually, they had it backwards. Donald Jr. Trump, 2024 to 2028. 2028 to 2032, Ivanka Trump, 2032 to 2036, 2036 to 2040, and then I guess Eric, and then little Boron. But out of all of those, I mean, he needs to be careful what roads he goes down, because he's not very bright. But Ivanka's children, the grandchildren of Donald Trump, are Jewish. So's Ivanka. Mm-hmm. I know. But still, these people are creepy as shit. Does it give you the creeps? Because it gives me the creeps. In a big way. So, we do have other stuff to go into this evening that isn't necessarily religion industry related. But I do like to use our prayer meetings once in a while to actually point out the dangers that these freaks pose to the Constitution, to freedom, to self-governance. Antichrist, Ron in Raleigh writes, I know, it's Jared Kushner. I have to go back and rewatch The Omen.
Yeah.
The Omen. They're in Jared and Ivanka's home. They think Rosemary's Baby is a home movie. On the other hand, because nobody gets a pass, there's a group of assholes at the Simon Wiesenthal Center, and they've got a Latin American branch of it, and they do good work of supporting Holocaust survivors and confronting anti-Semitism, but they've decided to be assholes and go after Roger Waters. Roger Waters is opening a world tour this year. The tour is called This Is Not a Drill, and it's a North American tour. Starts in July in Pittsburgh. I'd love to see it. It'll be a heck of a show. But the Simon Wiesenthal Center is trying to pressure the Mexican government to get that government to snuff out free expression and prevent Roger Waters from performing in concert in Mexico City on October 7th. The Simon Wiesenthal Center is pressuring businesses who sponsor the tour and promote the tour in Mexico, trying to get them to bail out, writing, "Your company's prestige should not be stained by those that use music to camouflage discrimination and the diffusion of a violent and racist message." Okay, what's Roger Waters' violent and racist message? Roger Waters' violent and racist message is that he supports BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, a movement aimed to pressure Israel the same way that the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions movement pressured South Africa to end its apartheid and force Israel to end its toxic version. And so, in Israel, and through the organizations that support and work with them internationally, they have spread the bullshit notion that BDS is anti-Semitic. It's not. And of course, one of the most ironic aspects of this is that they claim that boycotts and divestment and sanctions are anti-Semitic, but it's only anti-Semitic if it's aimed toward Israel. They, on the other hand, are free to do the very same things to try to destroy the ability of an individual to express himself through his art and make a buck doing it. Yeah. And what really has them roiled is one of Waters' stage props. For years, going all the way back to the release of the Pink Floyd album Animals, they've used a pig motif of no particular provenance. But in recent performances, Roger Waters has flown his great big inflatable pig at the concerts, and that great big inflatable pig has had a Star of David on it. And so the Simon Wiesenthal Center has hollered, "Ooh, anti-Semitism!" Anti-Semitism is what Rick Wiles does. Flying a great big inflatable pig with the national emblem of the allegedly secular state of Israel isn't. But nonetheless, they will try to try to destroy an artistic performance, and probably, well, it depends on how much power they can wield, how much influence, how much pressure they can bring to bear. They may wind up selling more tickets than they would have if, than Waters would have if they just shut the fuck up and not made any stink out of it. But bigotry is bigotry is bigotry. But the idea, I just found the irony absolutely stunning that they would try to use boycott and divestment and sanctions tactics that they claim is improper and illegal in the first place. Oh well, hypocrisy. You're going to have it, I guess. We are some curious little primates, aren't we? I went looking for follow-up. I didn't, by the way, to the Alabama cop who said that Nancy Pelosi should be targeted with a roadside bomb because his fate was supposed to have been decided this past Friday. Didn't find anything. If you find, I'd be curious just to know if there is any follow-up. If you find something, let me know. Oh, and a little something as we move past the as we move past the halfway point of the program this evening, and we're trying to knock down another $185 to come even for the week thus far. You know, 18 folks, $10, 10 people at $18, whatever. Sure would be nice. I got a piece of audio here that comes from right here in almost level West by Cole Trump Genius Stan. It's a real Lulu. Now, by way of setting up the clip, because there's a clip involved, by way of setting up the clip, a reminder. The governor of the state of West Virginia is a big old billionaire by the name of Jim Justice. He's not very good at the whole governoring thing, and he enjoys coaching basketball, girls' high school basketball, a lot more than he does being governor. Now, for years, Jim Justice had this story that he liked to tell because he's the richest man in West Virginia. He's a billionaire. Not like Trump's a billionaire. He's a real billionaire. Coal mines. I think he's the largest corn farmer east of the Mississippi. And I guess from time to time he questions his own luck and his own wealth. And he likes to tell people that God had a plan for him, and that's why he's so stinking rich. It's not exploitation or capitalism or anything like that. And the way that he explains that is to say that he had a conversation with the Eternal. And he's done this in talking about coaching basketball or life in general, and he even did it on the campaign trail when he was running for governor the first time in 2016 as a Democrat, and then promptly turned around and became the Republican he'd been all along. And he would explain that he would say, God, how come it is you made me so dang rich, God? I love being rich. But how come, God? And that God would then respond by saying, Jim Justice, I made you Jim Justice and not Kunta Kinte for a reason. Yeah, for those of a certain age, Kunta Kinte was the fictional ancestor of Alex Haley in the book Roots that was turned into the biggest TV phenomenon of the, late 1970s? All-star cast, heartbreaking tale, said to have been based on Alex Haley's research of his own genealogy. And a young African man gets captured in one of the West African nations. And he's captured and enslaved and sent on the Middle Passage and survives and is brought to the American South, where Kunta Kinte's name is taken from him with a whip. And he is rebranded, literally, as Toby. And I guess Roots had a big impact on Jim Justice, because whenever Jim Justice thinks about who he's glad he isn't, his mind ever turns to old Kunta Kinte. And so, like I said, he's told that story repeatedly, that God favored him by making him a white man named Jim Justice and not a fictional black guy by the name of Kunta Kinte. Well, fast forward into the present. The legislature is in session in West Virginia right now, and the governor is supposed to be somewhere roundabouts just in case they need him to do any governating. But Governor Jim is a basketball coach. And so he was coaching the Greenbrier County East girls basketball team in a game against Woodrow Wilson High School of Beckley. Now, Greenbrier East is a very white school. Woodrow Wilson High School has one of the most diverse student bodies of any high school in the state of West Virginia. And Greenbrier East and Woodrow Wilson have a long, intense basketball rivalry. No, this is not a story about sports. Last night, they played. The girls' teams did. Greenbrier East, coached by Governor Jim Justice, not doing his job of being governor, but yeah. And there was an altercation. And eventually, Woodrow Wilson pulled its team off the floor, and the game was suspended. And Jim Justice was hollering, they should have done had to forfeit. It ought to be a win for us. Remember, we're talking about high school girls here. No one older than 18 at the most. Well, interviewed by a sports reporter for the Beckley Register Herald named Tyler Jackson, he asked Jim Justice just what in the wide, wide world of sports went on out there. Jim Justice responded.
Can you kind of explain the situation that you've got going on to me from your point of view?
I hate to say it any other way, but the honest to God's truth is you saw what happened over at Woodrow, two different times, both times out of the Woodrow players. They're a bunch of thugs. The whole team left the bench. The coach is in a fight. They walked off the floor. They called the game. I mean, the game was over when they walked off the floor. I mean, it's just as simple as just that. I mean, they don't know how to behave, and at the end of the day, you got what you got.
I mean, future of these games is something. This is a game that you could probably hold. That might be a sectional game. What do you see the future of it?
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous that high school kids and high school coaches, my God, 11 of the coaches in a fight. The coach was in the fight. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, what's he supposed to be doing other than showing an example for the kids? You know, I mean, you saw how they behaved over at Woodrow. You see how they behave here. I mean, Jiminy Christmas. We don't do that stuff.
Thugs. Bunch of thugs. The governor of the state of West Virginia, who moonlights as a girls' basketball coach, just called a group of high school girls a bunch of thugs. Meaning, and it can be understood, it can be understood to have significantly racist overtones. Sorry, the stream dropped there. Thanks, Frontier. But hopefully the recording reached you before it buffered up and quit. And there's Jim Justice squeaking along like he's waiting for his voice to change. Calling little African-American girls thugs. Yeah. Jesus. I mean, it's kind of breathtaking. But, of course, just as he did with the Kunta Kinte story, when they said, Jim, that's kind of racist. He said, well, I ain't got a racist bone in my body. It's a big body, too. When he was asked, when somebody mentioned to him that the Kunta Kinte story was racist, he said, I ain't got a racist bone in my body. Well, I got African-American people, and I let them drive some of my very most expensive farm equipment. I do. But, you know, Republicans is Republicans is Republicans. So I'm sure they will. The Republicans will line up behind him. Hey, damnation! hadn't got a racist bone in his body. What was interesting, though, was when I tweeted the story earlier today, I subtweeted the story by the Beckley Register Herald sports writer. And I just said, this is the same Jim Justice who loved to tell his Kunta Kinte story. Jim, God, why did you make me so rich? And God says, I made you Jim Justice and not Kunta Kinte for a reason. And apparently the sports reporter had never heard the story because he responded to my tweet and said, wait, what? And then I provided receipts. Well, hell, says Ron in Raleigh. He could have called them nappy-headed hoes. Yeah, but that's been done. Thugs! Thugs! He likes to talk about, Jim Justice does, he likes to talk about what good buddies he and Donald Trump are. And, well, you can kind of figure out why that is. And it's kind of interesting. I went to click on the story. And guess what? The story of Jim Justice referring to little girls as thugs, at least the link that was on Twitter, I'll have to check and see. Oh, Frontier's being a real bastard this evening. Yeah, it looks like it's time to spend another hour of my life on hold with India, trying to get this sorted out. So again, we're trying to raise $185 this evening. I hope we can. It'd be nice to get all the bills put aside. Let's run over and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Okay, see, you know, I had not planned on calling. I was good.
I know.
I was on my way home. I was minding my own fucking business. I was just going to listen to the show and just, you know. But what is it about white men and young black women playing basketball? Why is it that we can't play basketball? You know, you got the, you know, like Ron and Raleigh said, you know, either we're nappy-headed hoes or we're thugs. What the fuck, man?
Well, and there's more to the story. And I was going to go into
it. Oh, I know. But wait, there's more.
Yeah, because it all begins when, if I understand correctly, the basketball coach is an African-American man at Woodrow. And somebody in the stands got the whole thing started by calling him that word that isn't ginger.
Of course. Because I know that, I mean, there had to be something that instigated the situation. You just don't, you know, we as people, we usually aren't the ones that start shit, especially when we're in a situation where we're surrounded by white people. Because we know we have to make sure that we come out of the situation alive. So we try to keep, you know, stay on our P's and Q's. You know, we try not, you know, don't start now, it won't be nothing. So we try to make sure we don't start shit. But then again, we ain't going to sit by another motherfucker call us the ginger. That part.
Well, he's issued a statement.
Which who?
Governor Jim Justice. My definition of thug is clear. It means violence, bullying, and disorderly conduct.
and we as West Virginians should have zero tolerance for this kind of behavior. Anyone that would accuse me of making a racial slur is totally absurd.
Never mind the history of the Kunta Kinte story.
I'm extremely proud that my coaches, my team, and myself are not involved in this incident in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I'm truly saddened that the Woodrow kids had to be subjected to this behavior. One of the incidents that I referred to resulted in one of the Woodrow Wilson assistant coaches being cited by the state police for obstruction of an officer. I'm certain that the WVSSAC, that's the West Virginia Secondary Schools Activities Commission, will deal with this in a professional and appropriate manner.
Justice's
team was up 56-50 with 5:45 left in the fourth quarter when they called the game. It was a really physical game. Two of the Woodrow players got two fouls in the first quarter. Welcome to basketball. Jamara Walton of Woodrow Wilson got an elbow to the face from Haley McClure of Greenbrier East.
From Haley?
Yes.
Haley?
Yeah.
Miss Haley. Haley McClure.
And then Jamara got in McClure's face over it. And then the officials pulled the coaches to the scorer's table to warn them that their players had better behave.
Did Ms. McClure get a technical?
No.
Oh, okay.
Then Coach Neighbors called a timeout after Haley made a 3-point shot. And that's when somebody in the stands apparently decided to use that word. And, you know, because Jim Justice is clueless, he said, "It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that high school kids and high school coaches, my God, even the coach was in a fight." So I guess he's, Jim Justice would have the coach just sit there and let somebody rain that word down on him. And, yeah.
And just turn the other cheek. I'm so tired. So very tired of white people just thinking that we as black folks are just supposed to sit back and let people shovel shit, and we're just supposed to smile and eat it. I'm tired of it. You know, and I have, you know, I'm tired and I'm pretty sure the black listening artists, Horn family members are feeling the same way I'm feeling.
Well, I'm embarrassed all to hell, but this guy's a walking embarrassment, and I've known he was a racist for ages. You don't walk around proudly telling a story about how God loved you so much he didn't make you a black man.
Make you a black person. It's like, God loved me so much he didn't make... Because, you know, in his sight, being black is just the most horrible thing in the world. But that's not racist, Bob. And see, that's the problem. See, because he is so much of a racist that he's just so stupid that he can't even understand why that story is a racist. Because he's so ingrained, he is so caught up in his own racism, and his country is so caught up in there, it is in its racism. He just doesn't see just how fucking racist what he's saying is. And it sickens me to my core, to the very fiber of my being.
Well, what I found interesting was that the reporter didn't know about the Kunta Kinte story.
Well, it's
I mean, and he's a young man. He looks to be a young man of color, and probably just didn't know Justice's history that well.
That's the way, and I'm pretty sure the look on his face was probably like, "Wait, what?"
Well, that's, I mean, you can see it on my head. Wait, what? Because it's spelled W-U-T. What?
What? What?
The Kunta Kinte story, yes. Tracy? Oh, there you go.
Did I lose you?
Yeah, for a second.
No. I wake up, you know, every morning, and it's like, what is it? What fresh hell is this? It used to be daily. Now it's every hour on the hour. Oh, look, I'm driving behind somebody with two American flags in the back of their pickup truck, their Dodge Ram. And if we were in Texas, I'm pretty sure there would be a gun rack there, too.
Or a Confederate flag along with it.
True. And it's like, not to say that this person isn't, you know, but typically when you see people, you know, driving down the freeway with American flags in the back of their pickup trucks, I'm looking to see if there's a Trump sign. I'm looking to see. I don't see a Trump bumper sticker or anything like that. But it's, I always get nervous, and that, you know, that's so terribly sad, Bob. It's a very sad indicator of where this country is going. That if I see somebody driving down the freeway with an American flag, with two American flags, big old American flags in the back of their pickup truck, I automatically get nervous because I automatically think gun nut Trump supporter. How sad is that? I'm already ready to take cover. That I'm letting him get as far ahead of me as I possibly can, because I don't want to be anywhere near, just in case I accidentally maybe get in front of him and that might piss him off, and he might try to run me off the road or something. That's my reality. That I actually have to I have to live this way now. And I shouldn't have to. I shouldn't have to worry about these things. And I should not have to. And like you said, this is, case in point on why come in November, every motherfucker that can better get their asses out and vote. And like you said, in numbers so large that these punk-ass motherfuckers cannot say we cheated. Because they're going to cheat. They're going to do everything within their power to cheat. They've been doing it now, because they're good at it. They're so good at it, Bob. They do it well. Because, see, that's the only way they know. That's the only way they can win is by cheating. Because it's not because of their policy. Because, if they were to win the elections just on their based on their policies, they wouldn't win. So they got to fucking cheat. They got to make sure, they got to make sure that, steal the vote, or they can't, suppress the vote and make sure nobody, people can't vote or whatever the case may be. God, I hate those people. I hate using the word hate, but I'm a Christian, and see, it just bothers me that I feel this way about the people, but God bless America. These motherfuckers are just hateful, evil bastards. And every time I hear,
yes, they are. And let's be clear about something, Tracy. They are hateful, evil bastards who use Christianity to spread their hate.
That makes it even worse. And every time I hear that mendacious mango speak, my blood curdle. I get this thing in the pit of my stomach, and I actually feel like I'm gonna hurl, because it's just he's an embarrassment. I thought George W. Bush was an embarrassment.
George W. Bush was a bloodthirsty embarrassment. you know, we're talking about somebody that got, you know, a million innocent Iraqi non-combatant civilians killed.
Yes, killed.
But
and I'm still trying to understand the relationship between the Obamas and Bushes, but that's all.
Trump has gone beyond embarrassment. He is an active threat to the existence and the continued existence
of this country,
of the Constitution and this country. I mean, we can have this country without our Constitution. It can be some sort of autocratic, pseudo-bullshit, monarchical monarchy. But any pretense of equal justice under law, which has been more or less threadbare from time to time, but at least we tried to make a dent in making it better. That all goes away, and it won't. And this country
it's
will
gone.
Not be that. This country will not be the same.
I'm fucked. Oh no!
When the young reporter asked me for receipts, I sent him a 2013 newspaper article from his very own paper. And I said, here's a variation on the Kunta Kinte story. And he was talking, they asked him back in 2013 what his basketball coaching plans were. And he said, as long as the good Lord just gives me the health to do it. You know, a lot of people say, why don't you retire? Why don't you just take your money and retire and enjoy yourself? They say that all the time. I tell them this story. I really do. In the movie Roots, Kunta Kinte didn't have much of a shot in life. I believe I'm put here for a reason. The good Lord gave me the brain and the creativity to create jobs and take risks and do things. And do good things with kids and connect with them and teach them values and everything.
Oh, values.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, so real quick, you know, Darlene was asking yesterday about the whole Kobe, Gayle King, and all that. I have something to add to that real quick. Like, so as far as, you know, like as the whole, you know, terrorist threat, because it was a threat. And I was saying how, you know, Snoop has a whole bunch of followers and they have guns. Let me add something to that. Whereas Snoop has a lot of followers and they have guns, these are black folks. Now, where he says, I'm going to come for you and stuff like that, and I had time to think about this. Black people in general, we're not going to do shit, you know, I mean... Now, when Donald Trump supporters, you know, if he says to do stupid shit, they're going to do that stupid shit. They will actually actively try to go and kill somebody. And we've seen the results. Us folks, the chances are, you know, with Snoop saying, we're just going to talk shit. We're going to talk the shit and going to, you know, the chances are somebody from, you know, Snoop's, you know, legions of fans actually going after Gayle King. Probably not going to happen because, again, not going to probably happen because we get that. I mean, as a group, and I mean, I might be speaking out of turn, but I seriously doubt, you know, that one of Snoop's, you know, fans are going to go after Gayle King. And also, here's another thing, why Snoop, you know, back down on what he said about Gayle King. Snoop is a brand, you know, that. Yes, he was a thug and he was a Crip and all that shit, and you know, and he's still trying to be that thug life. That motherfucker is he's an old man. Second of all, he's a thug. I mean, he's a brand, and he got, you know, he's got commercials. He got a Dunkin' Donut commercial, and he got all these sponsorships and all this other bullshit. All this shit. He probably saw the fact that he's talking about, you know, like I said, I don't give a damn about Gayle King, but she is a celebrity, and she's a black woman, and all this, and he's catching a lot of heat. When you start catching heat, sponsors start getting nervous. they started messing, you know, he might have saw the writing on the wall about, so I started messing with his wallet. So he's like, oh, shit, you know, I could talk as much shit as I want to talk, but now I might start losing money. So he had to, you know, he had to dial that shit back. You know, you could talk all this shit you want and try to be down with your homies, but your homies ain't going to be paying your rent. No, you know, your homies ain't paying your bills. That part. Now, I could be wrong on that one, too, but I seriously think. And as far as, as far as whether or not Gayle King should have, I still don't think she should have brought it up. I think, we don't know what the agreement was between Kobe and that young woman. And also, we don't know if she forgave Kobe. Has anybody ever thought about that part? Has anybody ever stopped to think that when Kobe apologized or whatever he did and made amends or whatever, that she said, I forgive you? Now, if she forgave Kobe and she's moved on with her life, who are we to say otherwise?
Well, I see it even more simply than that. There's an ancient Latin phrase, nil nisi bonum. And that's, it's the Latin root from which we get the thumper rule.
The
thumper rule from Bambi. Thumper. If you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all.
And
nil nisi bonum means nothing if not good. And that's the rule you apply when somebody, generally speaking, when somebody dies. Sometimes it's harder than others to observe. Let's say his cancer treatment doesn't work out so well. Rush Limbaugh. It's gonna be. I mean, because the man, it's like Jacob Marley in A Christmas Carol. He says, I forged these chains in life. And it's going to be impossible to do nil nisi bonum at the same time as one does Rush Limbaugh's obituary, because he spoke the words that will be written of him.
Right.
Like how the NAACP needed to buy a liquor store and practice doing robberies. Or how every criminal composite drawing looks like Rush Limbaugh, looks like Jesse Jackson, or telling the caller to call him back when he gets that bone out of his nose. Those are the things that people are going to have to say about Rush Limbaugh, because that is who Rush Limbaugh is and was.
Is exactly.
It's not such a stretch. Or it shouldn't have been such a challenge with Kobe Bryant, because, frankly, there were plenty of positives in his life to talk about, especially in the time after he got past all of those allegations.
I mean, 17 years ago.
So I don't think she, as a professional journalist, was in the right. Give it a couple of weeks. Let him get him in the dirt and then talk about it. And by the way, I did see the news where he has been quiet. He and his daughter have been quietly laid to rest.
Yes. I mean, like I said, Gayle King, you know how we always talk about, our favorite nutmeg.
Yeah.
How if it wasn't for, her being, last name being McKay, she'd be working at, the Waffle House on the midnight shift
where she didn't have to have any contact with human beings.
Well, no, it's because if it's a midnight shift on a Friday, because doesn't it get busy on the week on the, after the clubs close?
Well, but she's got some privilege. She's probably going to get Fridays and Saturdays off.
Okay, that part. Well, I say the same thing about Gayle King. If it wasn't for the fact that she was Oprah's friend, she'd be working somewhere asking, me and my friend Sarah would say, see me working somewhere asking about, you know, do you want fries with that? Because she's basic. There's nothing special about her. Like I said, you know, good on her, sister girl, that she got you a good job, and, you know, and your bestest buddy is Oprah. But to me, there ain't nothing special about her. She basic.
Hey, hang on. Let me go back to the Jim Justice story for a minute.
You're killing me.
That okay. 2013 article, and it's a puff piece. It's all about what a wonderful man he is for coaching the being a billionaire and coaching these little churns.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and remember, this is how his mind works. Look, I make our kids wear white socks, and I make our uniforms look the same thing. I don't let them wear their pants down their butt or do things that I think is unbecoming to them, because I'm a believer in that you've got to look the part before you can be the part. Their pants hanging down their butt.
In other words, I don't let them dress like Negroes.
We were walking out of the dressing room, and Bryce Woodliff, he's our point guard, he had on socks that were white, and they had green and gold up the back. And I said, you're going back to the dressing room, big boy. And he said, why? And I said, we don't do that. Not everybody else on our team had those socks, and maybe somebody else couldn't afford those socks. So a billionaire sends the kid back to change into plain white socks when he could have bought the sock factory and all his players could have had green and gold socks.
I'm sorry, what?
I mean, it's how billionaires think, I guess. But then again, this is a guy who has been personally...
That's why he's still a billionaire.
I don't know. Maybe it's billionaire thug life. Who knows?
You said billionaire thug life.
White billionaire thug life. White socks only, motherfucker. But...
Is that what Bloomberg and what's the other one's name is going through?
Steyer. it's all about being disciplined, he said. And of course, this guy, let's remember, is personally responsible for the poisoning of countless thousands of West Virginians via his mountaintop removal operations.
What size of a man is Jim Justice?
He's certainly twice the man I am.
So he's talking about discipline, but he doesn't have a discipline to push his ass away from the table.
He can barely stand up for any extended period of time. He coaches the girls sitting down. I think he's brittly diabetic, maybe. I don't know. But his feet swell. And
he diabetical?
I think he's got the sugar.
He got the sugar?
That's not a joke for anybody. I've dealt with it, but no, he's...
No.
I'm trying to do this without fat shaming.
I'm not fat shaming anybody either. I am still over 200 pounds. Still over 200 pounds. Hopefully in the next, let's see, this is February. Hopefully by the time I do the half marathon, I'll be under 200 pounds. I'm hoping. Hoping. But
far more than whatever his physical appearance is, his nature is repulsive.
Because going back to what I said a little bit ago, he
clothes it all in a bunch of phony baloney Christianity. By the way, Ron and Raleigh says Snoop Dogg, the man's a game show host, for goodness sakes.
Right, he's a game show host. He has a show with Martha Stewart. You know, I mean, he has a brand. So, you know, like I said, you know, that thug shit, it pops up, he was like, and then he tries to play to his base, and then he remembers, oh, fuck, I deal with white people. So I best back that pump your brakes, homie, because your shit can get snatched in an instant. So, I mean, this is a man. Remember that story that I sent you that has, I mean, Snoop Dogg smokes so much weed that he actually employs somebody who is on staff.
He's got a staff guy to roll his doobies, or I guess blunts.
He rolls his blunts, and the man makes what did he make about $50K a year?
Yeah, the roller.
Staff to roll his blunts on staff, and that means this man travels with Snoop. He goes on tour with Snoop. So this man is, I mean, what did he say? He probably rolls maybe about 20 joints a day or whatever it is.
I couldn't function.
I wonder if his fingers are insured by the way from London. I wonder, what kind of manual dexterity does he get hand massages to keep?
Oh, see, I made reference to Shel. I made reference to Shel Silverstein's "The Smoke Off" the other night, and first he introduces us to Pearly Sweet Cakes of sunny San Rafael, and he says, "Then off in New York City, that Grove Street walk-up flat, there dwelt the Calistoga Kid, a beatnik from the past. He'd been rolling dope since time began, and he took a cultured toke and said, 'Shit, I can roll them faster than any bitch can smoke.'" And so he's the world's fastest roller versus the world's fastest smoker. And you have to listen to the whole thing to find out how it all works out. But when you told me that story about Snoop's roller, I immediately thought, oh, Snoop went out and hired the Calistoga Kid.
Well, I can't even, it seems to me, I don't think the way as low and laid back as Snoop is, I can't see him smoking too fast or quickly or whatever, or too quick. I mean, but he's just seeing, I just can't imagine. I mean, because I get, as a matter of fact, I have a random pee. I got to pee in a tub.
Oh, wait a minute.
25th of this month.
I got a cowbell for Ron. Snoop Dogg's net worth. Hey, Pop. Snoop Dogg's worth is around $135 to $150 million. As Bernie Mac told Ice Cube, "You ain't no thug no more. You got an espresso machine."
Exactly. I'm sorry, Ginger. You ain't no thug no more. You're not a thug. So, like, when you put out a tweet, come and talk about coming out to Gayle King, bitch, you ain't no thug no more. You're not living a thug life no more. So you can't come out talking about I'm going to come for you, girl, because you're not. You and 50 Cent, because he was another one that came out to Gayle King. I don't know exactly what he said, but he was another one, and it's like that's a whole other conversation about 50 Cent with his black women hitting ass. I can't with these motherfuckers. The lady B ring chime in on the situation, because I didn't hear the beginning of the show.
No.
Oh, okay. So it's just like, it's...
Well, no, she said something last night, actually. It was after the show.
Oh, she did? Okay.
Yeah. Let me see if I got here. Subject line, Kobe Bryant and Redemption. Woody Allen's still getting movie offers. Rush Limbaugh's near dead, but he's still broadcasting, and Donald Trump is president. Put blame where blame is due, but don't be fucking hypocrites about it. Remember what I said about Zerlina Maxwell? Bill Cosby could convert to Catholic priesthood in jail and write a check for $20 million to charity, but y'all will still put an asterisk next to his name.
Mm-hmm. That part.
See, I keep up with things like this.
See, again, white people get redemption. Woody, like you said, Woody Allen, Roman Polanski. That motherfucker got convicted. They didn't snatch his, nobody's talking about snatching his name up and all that other shit. And you best believe, especially with the Me Too shit, not shit, stuff that's been going on for the last few years, if there were any more allegations against Kobe Bryant, don't you think they would have surfaced by now?
Oh, most likely.
That part. So when it again, we got the hypocritical double standard and stuff like that. Gayle King was so many shades of wrong. And like I said, Snoop Dogg had every right to be critical. Anybody had any right to be critical, because had I heard the interview, I would have been like as upset as I was with Stephanie Miller when all blackface radio, when the black women called on the, you know, that Friday before Kobe was killed. Same thing. You have every right to be critical, but it's just the way you phrase your criticism. You know, he could have, there's so many different ways he could have said, you know, what he had to say. But to say, you know, call her a dog face bitch or whatever he said, and then say, I'm coming for
lying
you.
Lying dog face pony soldier.
That was Biden. What are you doing? Were you trying to be funny?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Like, you know, but, you know, when the way you come after people, you are, you know, like I said, you're within his, he was within his right because she was wrong. But, you know, again, coming after, you know, and his wife and his children, his, you know, his other children have to hear that shit. Why bring that shit up? Again, like you said, he's not Harvey, you know, had it been Harvey Weinstein that died in a helicopter crash? Because, again, this motherfucker's unrepentant.
Well, if it had been Harvey Weinstein that died in that helicopter crash, we would still be trying to dig out from under all the hashtags of that helicopter didn't crash itself.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and, you know, like the same thing when Epstein died, you know, because of who they were and who he was, nobody could feel bad about the situation. He was a horrible piece of, you know, pedophile, blah, 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 and all that. So, you know, these people, you know, and like, even Joaquin, you know, if Joaquin Phoenix is crazy as, especially crazy as he is, I still don't know. I'm still, jury's still out on him. But even, you know, people are so quick to want to cancel people out of, you know, of who they were. I mean, my own.
Yeah, a little nuance of difference here. Darlene in Connecticut says Woody Allen and Roman Polanski. Darlene says, I don't know if they get redemption, Tracy.
Oh, they don't get shit.
They get
a shit. No.
No, wait. I don't know if they get redemption, Tracy. They get a pass. Don Imus, anyone?
No. They get a pass. They don't get like I said. They get a pass. I'm talking, when I say redemption, I'm only talking about Kobe. Those motherfuckers, they're white. They get a pass. They don't. I mean, they're still making movies. Fuck.
Like, yeah, they don't have to be redeemed.
Like, they don't have to be redeemed. They're not, and because again, Woody Allen doesn't feel like he did anything wrong. I'm sorry. You basically married your stepdaughter. I don't give a fuck how many ways you try to clean the shit up. Motherfucker, you married your stepdaughter. No! No, there's not. Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
I'm asking for a friend, Bob. No, it's pretty gross.
That's just nasty.
Okay, that's just nasty. There we go.
That's just nasty. That's just nasty. You married your fucking stepdaughter. That's just nasty. I don't give a fuck if you waited until she was of age. Bitch, so that means you were probably fucking around with her before she turned 18. that part, you nasty, nasty motherfucker, you. Ew, gross, that's just, ugh. Roman Polanski, fucking pedophile. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. No. No, you get a, but you get, because they're geniuses. Whatever the fuck. No, you get, there's, no, those, they're, Bill Cosby, no redemption. Roman Polanski, no redemption. None of them. Woody Allen, no redemption.
And Jim Justice, you know, look at him. Sorry, I keep looping it back to him because.
Why does he you know, not to say that, you know, that there are, but there's certain things about, because I've never seen the man, but the way you talk about him, and there's just something very creepy about him. And I don't know, when I feel there's a creep factor about him, which makes me wonder why he enjoys coaching girls basketball so much. Maybe it's just me. Maybe because.
Well, I mean, he coached boys too.
I don't care. I have a creep pedophile radar thing going in my life because I survived.
Sirens going off. Is that what you're saying?
I'm telling you. I mean, I am sorry. I'm very rarely wrong, but you know, I'm just overly when it comes to a certain kind of man, and just I get that creep factor, and so it's like I just get extra crispy creep. So I hope I'm wrong, but I just I'm one of those people that when you're watching a movie or a TV show, and I can always pick out the actor, even though you don't know if that's going to be the storyline. But I can always pick out the actor that's going to be the child molester in the storyline, even before they introduce that storyline.
You know, I'm glad you, it's gross, but I'm glad you brought that up because I've got a story that goes right with it.
Oh, jeez.
Hey.
See, I told you.
It's on you. It's on you. This ain't my fault. No, I ran across it.
I'm gonna have to listen to it off the air because the wife is coming out, so she's shaking her head like, "Why am I?" Okay, I'm gonna listen to it off the air. I gotta go. Bye.
Bye. I know how that is. Happy wife, happy life. So there it is. Cuz prayer meeting Wednesday. Oh, and big thanks, huge thanks to Kat in Ohio. We're down to $85 to go to finish the evening. Tremendous. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Kat. Much appreciated. It's a lot easier to look at tomorrow at $285 than, you know, $385. Thank you so much. So, $85 to go, and it's just a regular day tomorrow. Yeah. Prayer meeting Wednesday. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Albert and Charlene even know who this dude is. There's a radio station, there's a radio station called WJAR, and the Reverend Richard Bucci of Sacred Heart Church, he's a Roman Catholic priest in Rhode Island, gave an interview to the radio station. And he said that, oh dear, get the hockey puck. Pedophilia isn't as bad as abortion. And that comparing the two is unfair. Because he thinks that more children have been aborted than have been sexually abused. He comes from West Warwick, Rhode Island. Father, Reverend Richard Bucci does. And he said, we're not talking about any other moral issue where some may make it a comparison between pedophilia and abortion. Pedophilia doesn't kill anyone, and this does. Ew. Yeah, meanwhile, Pope Frank backed down off of the request of Roman Catholics deep in the more undeveloped parts of South America, who were begging that the church back off its thousand-year-old, and that's all it is a thousand years old. It's not anything that Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi came up with, the guy who wore a dress every day of his life. No, they wanted Pope Frank to let priests be married in the furthest reaches of the South American jungle so that the church could do churchy things that only, the kind of magic that only priests can do. And they wanted to let women be deacons. Sister deacons. Well, Pope Frank said no. Because the old Nazi Pope had written a book because the old Nazi Pope, Benny the Rat, he's deeply invested, I guess, emotionally, spiritually, in the weird sexual hang-up of priests not being able to marry. Meanwhile, nothing from Pope Frank on this latest story. In January, Richard Bucci of Sacred Heart Church made some comments in the church bulletin, and he made a list of lawmakers from Rhode Island who had supported the abortion bill in the Rhode Island legislature. It was passed in June, and it made official, as a matter of law, protections for a woman's right to choose. And in that bulletin, he said those 40 lawmakers that he listed should be forbidden from getting to eat the magic cracker and drink the magic wine. He also wanted them not to be allowed to be godparents or to read at Mass. In other words, he wanted to do everything short of excommunicating. This, in turn, caused lawmakers in Rhode Island to come after him. One of the people he went after was State Representative Carol Hagan McEntee. She was on Bucci's list. And last year, she introduced a bill in the Rhode Island legislature that extended the statute of limitations for the victims of child sexual abuse. She did so after her biological sister, revealed that she had been abused by a priest. Where? At Sacred Heart Church. And remember, this filthy priest said child abuse doesn't kill anyone. Representative Hagan McEntee said, "It's just absurd that he doesn't think this kills anybody. It steals their childhood and robs them of their soul. He should come to the State House and listen to the victim's testimony. He'd have a completely different view." No, he wouldn't. Nothing's going to change his mind because he's an anti-abortion freak. And they don't operate on knowledge. They don't operate on science. They operate on bizarre, antiquated, misogynistic hang-ups about the workings of the female body. And of course, he fails to take into account the children who grow to adulthood and spend that adulthood in many instances, untreated, uncounseled, and have their lives collapse around them because they try to self-medicate and cope as in any way they possibly can. and spiral into hells of drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and then even further physical abuse because of what it does to one's sense of self-worth. As for Father Reverend Richard Bucci, Lady B says, subject line, I hate to be frank, but did that motherfucker ever have his brother's dick in his mouth when he was 12? That's what happened to my middle sister. My older ones were full-on raped. Me and my twin were small, and my brother's almost grown, so we just got the semi-nightly fingering. Fuck that motherfucker. If we would have been aborted, I would have never had the shitty teens through 30s life I had. Absolutely, unequivocally, die in a fire, whomever that motherfucker is. And I have to concur. Because if that afterlife bullshit, if there was anything to it, he doesn't want the afterlife that's waiting him.
Oh, but St. Peter, man. Man, I said, I fought for the precious little fetuses.
Shut the fuck up. And no, you don't even get the asbestos underwear. We're just going to send you straight down there, and it's reverse pineapples for all eternity, Father.
But you said you'd forgive me.
Well, you got that part wrong, too. Remember when the boss said that anybody that would harm a little child should have a millstone thrown around his neck and be tossed into the sea? Yeah. Here's your millstone. Pedophilia doesn't kill anyone. An abortion does. Of course, a little wad of cells isn't exactly a person. No matter what the antiquated, unscientific, bullshit so-called teachings of the church are. But it's political season, so the American Conference of Roman Catholic Bishops, or what the fuck ever they are, they'll be out hooting and barking. About who should get communion and who shouldn't. Of course, Bernie's not Christian, so he can tell all the Roman Catholic bishops to go and form a circle jerk or a daisy chain. Probably do it anyway. And Pete Buttigieg is an Episcopalian, and there is at least a liberal wing of that organization that. You know, it isn't gonna. No. And so New Hampshire's over with. Off to Nevada. Oh, how about a little good news just to close things out? Two stories. And curiously, this one has to do with Pete Buttigieg's own faith tradition. There's been a statement issued by the General Synod, S-Y-N-O-D, of the Church of England, often known to many as Catholic Light. They hung on to all the claptrap. But thanks to Henry VIII, they got shed of the Pope. And so the monarch of England is the titular head of the Anglican Church, and it is administered by the Archbishop of Canterbury. Our buddy Arthur says, wait, what? Abortion? Pedo-weedo? What is it with these people? I know. But no, Justin Welby is the Archbishop of Canterbury. And that's the most senior bishop in the Church of England. And in the statement they said the General Synod voted on Tuesday, yesterday, to issue an official apology and commission an outside expert to prepare a report on racism, race, and ethnicity in the church. And the Archbishop of Canterbury said there was no doubt that the Church of England was still deeply institutionally racist. We did not do justice in the past. We do not do justice now. And unless we are radical and decisive in this area in the future, we will still be having this conversation in 20 years' time and still doing injustice. And so they will be acting upon a motion for the General Synod to issue an apology. And he went Reverend Andrew Mawton Mumby, who comes from the Southwark Diocese in London, told the story of one of his parishioners who in 1961 were barred from entering St. Peter's Church in Walworth of South London because of skin color. And then there's the Windrush generation. If you don't know what Windrush is, look it up. It's a horror. Albert says, Bob, I used to live in Warwick, Rhode Island. I immensely enjoy prayer meeting Wednesday. I hope all those religious grifters get what's coming to them someday. Well, it'll have to happen here on Earth because that notion that something happens, no. Greg reminds us, hey, as you're listing him, don't forget Elvis and the Killer, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis. You're my cousin. But good on the Church of England. Maybe there's hope for a sect or two of Christianity, but mostly it is spiritually and ethically bankrupt and dead. And then this. And this one's just a little delight. We have to go to the Commonwealth of Kentucky stand for this one. Like I said, little good news. We have to time travel to 2016. When a guy named Benny Hart applied for a vanity tag for his automobile. Before moving to Kentucky, he'd lived in Ohio, and he'd had the same vanity tag in Ohio, and he got it without any problem. So he applied for the same vanity tag in Kentucky, and they turned him down. What did the tag say? It said, I'm, and then a space, God. And the Kentucky Division of Motor Vehicles refused his application, saying that the statement was obscene or vulgar. But then they reversed course and said, no, it's not obscene or vulgar. It's not in good taste. Because in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, they maintain standards of grace and dignity and good taste. So Ben Hart sued the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And he's been at it for 4 years. He said, I just want the same opportunity to select a personal message for my license plate like any other driver. There's nothing obscene or vulgar about my view that religious beliefs are subject to individual interpretation. And so he had to sue. and they came very close to settling it all the way up to back in November. The judge hearing the case said the little Eichmanns there in Kentucky had gone too far in rejecting his license plate request. The judge went on to say, personalized license plates aren't just for UK fans. And the judge said all that was left was to figure out how much the state of Kentucky was going to have to pay for having so thoroughly fucked with a guy that wasn't even trying to do anything. Luckily for Mr. Hart, he had the Freedom From Religion Foundation and the ACLU on his side. And they submitted a bill for their time, their hourly, their billable hours in securing Mr. Hart's right to have a license plate of his own choosing. So the pettifoggers from Kentucky state government argued, well, they spent too much time on this lawsuit, and they charged too much. Hearing any lawyer claim that some another lawyer charges too much often rings hollow. And so the judge has entered judgment against the Commonwealth of Kentucky for the sum of $150,715.50 in attorney's fees and $491.24 for litigation costs. That's how much some little theocrat in Frankfurt cost the Commonwealth of Kentucky by rejecting a facially unobjectionable application because Jesus. And all of this was done at a time when Kentucky was being run under the pious and puissant Christian fist of one Matt Bevin. You remember Matt Bevin, the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, who once subjected his little children to chicken pox deliberately and somehow or another managed to not have Child Protective Services called on his white Christian ass. So Ben Hart has his I'm God license plate. He got it a few weeks ago. And the Freedom From Religion Foundation is waiting for the check. And, you know, it wasn't just some little functionary. It was the head of the Kentucky Division of Motor Vehicles who put the kibosh on the request because, well, Brother Governor Bevin wouldn't approve. Pay up, you theocratic fucks. Oh, and it wouldn't be any fun. We got a couple of minutes left. Let's go visit with E.W. Jackson. He wants you all to know that he knows why it is that we don't like Donald Trump. It's not because Donald Trump is a menace to the Constitution that he is trying to destroy it day by day by day. It's not that he's been credibly accused of sexual assault by two dozen or so women. No, it's not that he cheated on every wife he's ever had, that he's got five kids by three baby mamas. No. Because we're all a bunch of sissies. That's what we are.
You know, I'm convinced that a lot of this criticism of the president also has to do with his masculinity. He's a man.
You know, I, far be it from me to say, but old E-Dub here is forever going on about how much he likes manly men. Talks about hot and sweaty men, hairy men. The idea that Donald Trump is anything resembling masculine, I guess old E-Dub's never seen that little cheesecake photo of Nitwit Nero in his younger days in that little shorty robe, reclining on the bed like he's waiting for a gentleman caller. No. He's a man.
And, you know, the left doesn't like manhood. You know, they're always putting manhood down. Toxic masculinity, white men.
Well, see, that's because toxic masculinity is a separate and discrete phenomenon. And it's vicious. That's not putting down the concept of being male. That's putting down the way that we raise young men to be rapey and vicious.
You know, men are the problem. And I think the president, frankly, is just too much of a man for them.
Hey, this would be easier to take if it wasn't the way it is. Man.
They just don't like manhood. I mean, it's and I think that's a part of the problem, too. The radical feminists, the homosexuals, the transgenders, whatever bizarre idea they have of who we're supposed to be. They're not putting up with men who stand tall, stand up straight, and say, look, this.
Standing tall and standing up straight are two things you can never accuse Nitwit Nero of doing. Like I've said in the past, the president of the United States, who's in charge of our 52, of our B-52s, is a 52B.
This is who I am. This is what I believe. You can like it or you can lump it, but there it is. Because, you know, Obama was effete. You know,
effete. I don't think that word means what he thinks it means. We can check real quick. Affected, over-refined, and ineffectual. No longer capable of effective action. I think E-Dub thinks it means effeminate.
Obama was, you know, I mean,
Obama could take his shirt off on a beach and you know, not have some bearded old white dude with a peg leg yell, "There she blows! From hell's heart I stab at thee!" Right.
He was lighting the loafers. You all remember seeing that time when he was exercising? And I mean,
lighting the loafers? Yeah, Brother Deacon Asa points out, E-Dub wants to say, Trump's a purdy man. The reason he doesn't come out and say it is because he knows the rest of the closeted maggots would lynch him if they found out. Manly man? Really? Which manly man have you seen who buys gold-plated toilet seats? Hell, Trump even lifts his pinky when he raises the glass up to his cat's ass mouth. He does do that, doesn't he?
Oh, brother. I mean, he looked like olive oil, you know, trying to lift a half-pound weight.
Yeah, because Trump's Popeye.
I'm serious. It was a bizarre thing to watch. I don't know why he allowed it to be filmed. I mean, it did not put him in a manly light.
Well, mercifully, prayer meeting Wednesday is over for another week. Jesus, God. Hasn't this just been a Lulu? So thanks to everybody. Thank you to our anonymous friend. Thank you, Kat. Thank you to everybody who got us down as close to meeting the fundraising goal as we are. We'll only be at 285 tomorrow. That's amazing. Thank you so much. And thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. either as subscribers at PayPal or Patreon, or as a la carte contributors, or both. Many of you do both. Thank you to all of you who participate in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.